Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
David, is that you?
No, it's Saddam Hussein.
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 17, Thicker Than Water, which I'm told is a gross title for reasons we will find out soon.
It is.
Here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting. Except it's not. It's me still. Little Slight Business at the top, as always, Glarkware.com for all your Again With This t-shirt needs, and previously.tv/ads to buy a ad on this very podcast or any of our sister podcasts on the previously.tv podcast network. $50 personal, $100 business. I guess that's it for Slight Business. On with the show.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Are you ready for this?
Nope. Let's do it.
Okay. Starting with our C story. No, Nana, that's actually not menopause. So Andre goes to the clinic at school because she thinks she's getting the flu and blah, blahs, all the things that might be like colitis and a bunch of other shit. The doctor's going to take blood even though she thinks it's the flu. So Andrea asks her to test her for HIV as well, or as this pre-med student puts it, an AIDS test. Whatever. We don't see her for a while until it's time for her to get her blood test results in a baby doll dress that she is clearly showing in. She's been stressing out about her, quote, AIDS test, unquote. But of course, she does not have AIDS. Clip number 2.
In fact, you're perfectly healthy. What a relief. I feel so much better. So it was just a 24-hour bug. Actually, more like a 9-month bug. Excuse me? Andrea, you're pregnant.
Okay, what fucking idiot doctor who works in a college medical clinic thinks it's cute to tell a student she's got a 9-month bug? Like, obviously, this is not a planned pregnancy. That's not funny.
Also, what student who is sexually active is not thinking before anything else? Mm-hmm. Colitis, a bug, oh shit, I'm knocked up. Nobody. Mm. That is your first thought every time.
Yep.
Even when it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Geology students. Trick answer, they're
well,
not having
they
sex.
Get their rocks off. Maybe you throw that t-shirt. Sorry.
You're not sorry.
Nope, not even a little.
Moving on. Dylan, to our B story. Dylan, the grifter and the period pool. Sorry. I'm not actually that sorry about that either. The show should be sorry. So while Jim is leaving Dylan a message about wanting to talk about the results of the background check he ran on Suzanne, Dylan is at the beach with Erica about to try to teach her how to surf. There's a bunch of stuff around her trying to weasel out of it until we finally get to the reveal that she doesn't know how to swim. After, apparently, she let him buy a whole bunch of, like, surf shit for her. So, I don't know.
I'm sure he only borrowed it.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure he only borrowed it.
Perhaps. So then Dylan takes her. Sorry, go ahead.
He's not made of money, you know. Then they had lunch at a soup kitchen. Fucking show.
Well, then he takes her to a public pool to give her the basics on swimming, and he starts by showing her how to put her face in the water and comes up with his hair all on the side looking like Hitler. I made a pic. It's in the visual aids.
He totally does. Oh my god.
Well, his hairline is so far back that when it's like slanted across his forehead, I mean, it actually makes him look younger weirdly when it's not all like done up. But anyway, she's scared. She doesn't want to try and put her face in the water, and he tries to goad her in clip number 3.
Santiago would never accept defeat.
Sarah?
Yes, I asked for this clip. First of all, like, they have this, like, ongoing stuff bonding thing about the fact that she's read The Old Man and the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whatever. Like, Santiago would never accept defeat. Yes, he would. Like, that's sort of the point of the book. He's trying to be defeated, is A. B, Santiago was in a boat. The fuck does this have to do with learning to swim?
Well, that's like, even she says that, she says Santiago knew how to swim, which, like, yeah. Neither here nor there, if he's in a boat. I haven't read the book. Anyway, it's stupid. Then she puts her face in the water and she's a champion. Later, Dylan has to go looking for her after she takes forever coming out of the bathroom because she got her first period. Hence the title, Thicker Than Water. Gross. So, of
also,
course. Yes.
Well, actually, we'll talk about her later. Continue.
Okay. So he takes Erica to the Walsh's, of course, so that Cindy can take care of her. And when she comes out of the bathroom or whatever, she asks if she looks different. And Dylan agreeably says she looks duller, which is kind of cute. Then she looks around Brenda's room, by the way, helping herself to stuff on the dressers because she was raised wrong by a grifter.
Thank you. Don't just touch it. Hello?
No. Yeah. That's not your stuff. Like, she picks up perfume, and then Cindy is, because Cindy is nice, she says, you know, Brenda wouldn't mind if she had a squirt, which she wouldn't, but that's not the point. It's not your room. Hands to yourself. Before dinner at the Walsh House, Jim shares some findings with Dylan in clip 4.
Dylan, what did Suzanne tell you about her financial situation?
Pretty much, she was wiped out in the flood.
Well, unless Suzanne Steele's definition of destitute is a whole lot different than mine. She hasn't been telling you the truth, Dylan.
What are you talking about?
She has $25,000 sitting in a bank account in Davenport, Iowa. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, be sure.
It's her name. It's her social security number. Look, Dylan, I don't know what game she's playing, but she's got something up her sleeve. I mean, she shows up here, out of the blue, claiming poverty. She suckered you right in.
This is a misstep for Suzanne, in my opinion. She shouldn't have, even if she had to use her real name because of Erica, she should have had a different bank account for this money, I feel like.
Yeah, or a mattress. Hello?
Yeah. Anyway, so Suzanne comes back to Dylan's day early. She tries to excuse herself to bed, but first, Dylan's going to have to confront her in clip number 5.
When are you going to tell me about the 25 grand?
How the hell did you know about that?
Jim Walsh found the account.
So you checked up on me after all. I can't blame you. I guess I'd do the same in your shoes.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't know when it was going to come through or even if I was going to get it at all. That's the insurance settlement on my trailer, Dylan. The insurance company just wired it into my account 3 days ago. Well, we'll clear out of here tomorrow morning. I'm sorry we put you out. Here, I found this with my stuff back home. Thought you might like to see it.
It's the most hilarious picture of Suzanne and...
Wow, he looks young.
...Jack in earlier days that you ever saw.
Do you want to know the whole truth? I've always told Erica that Jack McKay was her father. And I was seeing him at the time. I was in love with him. Those were wild days. And there's no way that I can be sure that Erica really is his daughter. So if you're looking for guarantees, there are none.
That's a lot of information. I've got to go back to this picture, though. You can see it in the visual aids.
It looks like they were photographed as the victors in a three-legged race. It's really weird.
I don't know why they did. Like, it's clearly two different shots of, like, the actors when they were younger. But, like, it's not like Josh Taylor was dead for real. Like, just put them together somewhere and then sepia it up or something. Also, she has a headband around the middle of her forehead. Like, let's get physical. It's fucking gorgeous. You can see the visual aids. But also, like, I don't know why at this point she would just volunteer, like, maybe Erica's your sister and maybe not. Like, I don't get how this works in her scam, but apparently it does, because then Erica comes out for a hug and Dylan forgets about everything in clip number 6.
I don't need any guarantees. I got a sister.
Okay, first of all, mm-hmm. Cagney, I got a sister.
Yeah.
You never get her. You never get her. See? what the fuck is that? That's A. B, they had paternity tests in the 90s.
They did.
Right?
Yes, but I don't know where they would get. I mean, could they compare it against Dylan's? I don't know how advanced it was then, because it's not like they
I'm
have
sure
any
the FBI of... kept the sponge they picked Jack up with.
Perhaps
could probably get a sample from that. I'm sorry,
Christine still got some on a dress, sorry. Anyway,
or on his giant pants,
on his giant on in around. Anyway, moving on. Sorry. Not that sorry. To our A story, which is unfortunately a hybrid story. Druggy David drugs on / Black Diamond Donna. So, David reminds us that these fucking lazy dicks have another week off before whining at his poor audience on his radio show in clip number 7.
I will personally be Velcro to the microphone here at KXCU, but, well, my life's in the tank anyway. Let's see, I haven't slept in 2 weeks, I haven't talked to my girlfriend in 3.
X!
Well, actually, I've told you all this already. Anyway, here's a funky little track that'll get us all feeling a little bit better. Hey, what's up, man? What are you doing here at the crack of dawn?
Actually, I'm here to talk to you.
What's up?
Look, I know you broke up with Donna, but I'm getting sick and tired of you spilling your guts on my airwaves.
Well, I'm a DJ. It's called self-expression.
It's called self-indulgence. And you may be the DJ, but I'm the station manager, all right? So from now on, cut out the chatter. I don't approve your playlist.
Wait a second. What's wrong with my playlist?
It's depressing. Just like you.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Listen, man, I haven't been feeling too hot lately. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Is there something you can get me to take the edge off?
Like what?
Some pills or something.
What do I look like, a walking drugstore? You want pills? Go see a doctor.
Listen, man, you're the one who gave me the meth in the first place, all right? Now I can't think. My heart's pumping and I gotta get some sleep.
It's easy. Stop doing the meth.
Howard
2016!
Yeah, stop calling her your girlfriend. You broke up, especially on the air, where she might hear it, because it's obviously the end of the show. Stop stringing her along. You're a dick.
Ugh.
Anyway,
yeah. And she's obviously listening to the show and, like, whatever, carefully panning it for nuggets of, like, things that they can talk about. Like, good luck with that.
She's on the phone with Brenda, like, what do you think it meant when he and Brenda's like, kill me? Anyway, Kelly does not care about Donna's upcoming ski trip to Big Bear, which Kelly was invited to go on, but she passed. Donna asks Kelly to keep an eye on David while they're gone. She wonders if she should have invited him because she is a pathetic phoebe. Kelly tells her she should get out of town and forget about him because he's a jerk. And David proves Kelly right immediately by coming home and ignoring everyone like a real fucking dick. And Donna likes it so much that she then stops by his room for more in clip number 8.
I don't want to leave with you mad at me.
Well, I'm not mad.
Oh. Well, there's still room in the van if you want to go.
Well, it's too little too late. Besides, I already told my dad I'd watch Aaron this weekend, so have a good time and don't think about me.
Well, that's a nice thing to say.
Well, my life and what goes on in it really isn't your concern anymore.
Well, it is as long as we're sharing an apartment. Look, David, I'm just worried about you. Lately, you've been edgy and nasty, and you're driving Kelly nuts.
Well, maybe I wouldn't be in such a bad mood all the time if I had a girlfriend who was capable of a mature relationship.
So this is all about sex. Well, I'm sorry, David, but there's more to life than sex.
And how would you know?
You know, it just so happens I will decide when I want to have sex. And I won't be pressured by you or anybody.
It's the same old song, Donna. It's getting really old.
Hey, I'm glad you're not coming this weekend. Because I don't know if I can stand the sight of you anymore.
Finally!
Seriously.
I know we keep saying this, but David's shocking descent into drug-fueled self-destruction might have more impact if he hadn't been a bitch literally this entire season so far. Like, it's really out of control.
Yeah, and has been. Not a whole lot of contrast, so yeah.
No. At the Welshman's, the rest of the people who are going on the ski trip are eating breakfast, including Brenda, sticking her fingers directly into the peanut butter like a fucking animal, which you can see in the visual aids.
Yeah, what the hell, Puck? And excuse me, speaking of doormats, Cindy, if they want snacks, they can make them themselves. Jesus.
Yes. She's packed an entire cooler for what is apparently a 2.5 hour drive. And then Steve's like, are there any brownies in there? And she's like, oh, did you want brownies? Get a grip, Cindy. I'm glad you're going back to school in the next episode so you have something else to do. Anyway, then Jim comes out with his chest hair showing in his robe. And I made a gif of like some business that I'm pretty sure is one of those, you know, actor versus character moments where I and Ziering and Jason Priestley both like futz around with the lapels on his robe and like pull it apart. Anyway,
cover it up, Grizzly. Totally.
Yeah. It's in the visual aids. Donna calls to ask if they would all hate her if she flaked. And the answer is yes, since they're supposed to stay at her parents' chalet. Brenda is unimpressed about Donna having had yet another fight with David and basically steamrolls her into changing her mind about flaking, and Donna lets her because she's a doormat. And when everyone else is gone from the beach, David is a bitch to Kelly and she calls him on it in clip number 9.
Then what is your problem?
Huh?
Donna's right. You don't eat, you don't sleep, you drag your ass around here all day. When you're not complaining or yelling at somebody, you're climbing the walls. What's going on with you?
Well, Donna and I just broke up. I just finished finals. Mel and Jack, you're still at each other's throats. And if that's not enough, I've got to work all night long.
Fuck off.
David, are you doing drugs?
What?
You heard me.
I can't believe you. Where do you get off accusing me?
I'm not accusing you, and I'm not passing judgment on you. I'm your sister, and I grew up with somebody who had a real drug problem.
Well, I don't have a drug problem. But if I did, I would definitely come to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, neat. Promise?
Yeah. So for some reason, she accepts this and hugs him, and that's the end of the conversation. Nice insight, Dr. Taylor. Anyway, then Kelly and David go to Mel's office to pick up Aaron, and when David excuses himself to go to the bathroom, he in fact helps himself to Mel's effectively unsecured narcotics for like 10 minutes while the music judges him.
God, I feel like I'm on drugs. It was going so slow.
Play a little bit of clip number 10. This is the music of David looking in the cupboards. You can see that in the visual aids too. That's him obviously dumping out like half a bottle of codeine, except we also see him put some of them in his mouth and they look exactly like Altoids.
Yeah.
So when he's like chokes them down without water, it looks more like he's like, oh man, these are curiously strong.
I hate these ginger ones. Shit. And there's also this close up of him like with his mouth open and it's like his tongue out. And I think he's supposed to be like concentrating or lusting after the drugs, but he just looks like those repeated cutaways to the late Corey Haim in License to Drive where he's like, yeah, I'm cool. And his tongue was kind of out and you just wanted to kick him to death. Shut up, David.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Speaking of shut up, at Big Bear, Donna's special custom-made ski boot is bothering her, and some goon who works at the resort, who's supposed to be cute but is not, helps her and then asks her to have lunch. Back in Los Angeles, Kelly and David have brought Aaron to the park, and we find out immediately that David is not qualified for this assignment in clip 11.
What a pretty little girl.
Thank you.
Why don't you come over and give me a great big hug?
I'm sorry.
Would you like a cookie?
No, thank you.
Well, now, just a minute. I've got one right here.
No, that's okay. We have to go wash our hands.
I'm sorry for her not wanting to hug this strange lady. No, David.
Yeah, I mean, little old ladies like that are why there are signs on every New York City park that are like, if you're not here with a kid that is genetically yours, you will be arrested. Like,
yep. Post-codeine, he's apologetic to Kelly for having been such a dick for a moment. While they're having this moment, Aaron runs off to the ice cream truck, which Kelly establishes is something she's been doing lately. David offers to buy Aaron an ice cream, and Kelly has to explain to him that he can't reward Aaron for running off, but he ignores her, and she leaves for her appointment, which that's all she ever says about it. Like, they didn't even bother to think of what she's doing.
It's like the foundation. Like, I have an appointment at the appointment store.
Yes. Are you getting a are you getting your IUD changed? Like, is this you seeing your shrink? What is it? We never find out. Anyway, at the resort, the ski bum, whose name is Chad, flirts with Donna over lunch. Brenda sucks at skiing, so Chad suggests that he and his instructor buddy ski with them the next day. Brenda has zero response to that because she is a peanut butter picking boor with no manners, but Donna accepts, and when Chad takes off, Donna says she's having a good time with him, and they have an eyebrow-y exchange, which I gift the visual aids. Kelly then comes back to the playground after this mysterious appointment and looks around, not seeing Aaron. And David is asleep on a bench and has no idea where Aaron is. After 3 seconds of looking, during which they get judged by the guys playing chess, you can also see the visual aids.
I love how the one guy is just like, you lost your kid?
Seriously?
No one else even, everyone else is just sort of cutting them a side eye, but the guy in front totally turns around and is like, what?
Yep.
It's awesome. Agreed.
Anyway, they barely look for her before deciding that she's just gone. So David claims at the police station that he was asleep for 20 minutes, but he's not actually sure. The detective also judges him hilariously in the visual aids. Mel arrives and gets furious when he hears that David had fallen asleep. The detective suggests that Jackie, who he hasn't been able to reach, may have kidnapped Aaron, which Kelly strenuously refutes until Kelly admits that when they spoke earlier, Jackie was upset. David sticks up for Jackie and blames himself, but then Mel, for some reason, says it wasn't David's fault, which it obviously was. You're going to be hearing this a lot in the rest of this episode because it keeps happening. Anyway, at this Big Bear, everyone makes dinner plans, but Donna wants to hang out in the lodge and says she'll catch a ride with someone. Brenda dismisses the dudes, and when she's alone with Donna, she has poorly enunciated concerns in clip 12.
Donna, you hardly know him.
You heartily know him.
Okay, this clip this clip was in the doc, and I just thought that Tara's finger slipped, so I corrected it, and she changed it back, so I corrected it again.
You did? Yes. I don't think I did.
And then I think you changed it back. You must have been like, wait, I don't know what happened. Like, I think you must have thought the, like, word fixed it for you.
And I don't then know. I was like, maybe
oh,
I did.
Wait. Oh, I mean, now it's back to normal, but oh, man.
I don't remember any of that, but that's hilarious. Anyway, Donna says she'll be fine. So at the police station, everyone's getting sick of waiting when Jackie finally comes in, losing her mind and stressing everyone out more. She screams at Mel for being a shitty father. Fair, although not applicable in this case. And when David once again takes responsibility, no one pays attention. After Jackie's calmed down a little bit, David apologizes to her and clip 13.
It's not your fault, David. It's not anybody's fault.
It is someone's fault. It's his fault. It's his fault.
It's absolutely his fault. And yes, whoever took her's fault, like, she wasn't hit by lightning, bruh.
Yeah. You were responsible for her. Even whenever, like, the cover story at this point, which he's about to walk back on in private with Kelly, is that he just fell asleep. Like, even if you were super tired, you're out in public with a toddler. You don't get to fall asleep. If you're that tired, bring her back to your place, then you can both have a nap. Like, this is not okay under any circumstances.
I don't, yeah. And it really just doesn't happen unless you're on drugs. Like, if you have charge of a toddler, no matter how exhausted you are, like, there is some lizard brain thing that means that you are aware.
Yeah. Head on a swivel. It's a real thing. Anyway, Chad and Donna end up alone in front of the fire at the lodge kissing. He hints around that he'd like to go to her place, but she babyishly turns him down in clip 14.
I can't do it.
Well, what can you do?
In episodes past, I would have said butt stuff, but it's become clear that, like a Barbie, Donna has no genitals and is perpetually 14 years old. Actually, she's more like Skipper. With two misshapen grapefruits attached to her front.
It's true.
Spoiler.
Oh, God. Then she says she's in love with someone else. Gross. She's not over David. Chad offers to drive to Los Angeles and kick David in the butt, which we would all enjoy. But Donna says that she'll have to do that herself, as if.
Agree. She
Chad
would.
Is still very into her, and she says, who knows, and they never saw him again. Oh, my God, this Aaron story is taking an age. Ends in the detective finding Aaron, as we all knew he would. She was in a house near the park. Sorry.
Except that was never explained, though. I mean, it what? Was. But also, like, we found her in a house near the park. Like, they explain how Aaron got to the house.
Right.
But not how... Like, did they just start doing a door-to-door search near the park?
Well, he says the housekeeper that found her doesn't speak English and might be undocumented, so, like, maybe that she didn't call anyone, and then maybe her boss came home and called? Yeah, it's
was like,
it's,
we have
sketchy.
One too many kids here? Yeah, I don't exactly understand what happened there. It is a testament to how interminable the storyline is that I am, like, focusing on the true crime realism of the case solving instead of focusing on the fact that David, who is responsible for this entire contretemps, has now been told 1,726 times that it's not his fault when it totally is. And we're about to hear that again.
Strap in for 1,727. Here it is. No. Kelly and David come back to the apartment exhausted. Once again, David says it was his fault. Somehow, Kelly is still trying not to hear it in our final clip.
David, stop blaming yourself.
No, don't.
We found her. She's fine. Could happen to anybody.
No, but it not. Couldn't have.
I don't think so.
What do you mean?
I didn't just fall asleep. I crashed.
What?
I start coming down, Kel. I've been taking meth for days, ever since finals. I couldn't take it anymore, so I stole some codeine from my dad's office. I thought everything would be okay if I got some sleep, but it just hit me too hard.
Oh my God, David.
Please don't hate me, Kel. I didn't mean for any of this to happen. If Aaron wouldn't have come back, I don't know what I would have done.
Kill yourself?
Yeah.
David, I don't hate you.
I do.
Sorry.
I know.
Oh, more bad cry.
I need you to help me, Kel, please.
Cut.
I will. I will.
It's been a week.
Yeah, it hasn't even
Everybody
been a week.
Everybody settle the F down. Like, I get that he feels guilty and he should, but it's been a week.
Yeah. This is absurd. This is like
as
when
far as downward
was...
spirals go, I don't think he even got through a full turn.
No.
It was like a downward arc. A downward parenthesis, whatever.
Well, now he's asked for help, so I'm sure his drug problems are completely behind him. Cough. Let's wrap up this episode with our MVP. I'm gonna say Jackie, because even though I didn't clip any of her freaking out, I did enjoy it very much. She's in fine Jackie form, and she's right to be screaming at Mal about being a shitty father, even though, as I already said, in this case it's not really applicable. He still is in general.
I'm going to give it to the lady in the women's locker room who is a complete bead, Dylan, and will not back down at all. And he's like, do what you got to do. She's like, great, I'm calling the cops, you prevert.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't even talk about that. That happens when Dylan goes in looking for Erica. This lady is like, and Dylan's like, fuck off. She's like, no. And then Erica has to say that.
And then there's like this endless coaxing of Erica out of the bathroom stall. Yep. Because every other 12-year-old totally was on top of the period tip and would know exactly what to do. And yep. Carrying tampons in their little purse for months, waiting for this album to drop. But not Erica, because she's making art on paper plates, because she's simple. So the lady's like, okay, I guess the rest of us will just wait until this tiny wasted man is done negotiating with his intellectually delayed, possibly not sister, upon the occasion of her first menstruation. Not. In other words, that lady for president of everything.
Yes, she and Howard would make a fine ticket. Yes. Moving on to our least valuable player. David, who lost a child. David.
Yeah, David.
Despite
because
everyone
if you're
going
to lose a child, at least lose Erica.
Yes. Go back in time and lose that kid who his mother was beating on him. It sucks.
David!
Brandon, unfortunately, was hardly in this episode, so by default, let's do the Kim Challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five ways in this episode Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Well, he's not a licensed swimming instructor, so it's potentially dangerous for him to try and teach swimming skills to a child.
It's pretty bad that someone who allegedly impregnated someone in Paris when he was like 13 is this flummoxed by the menstruation of his sister.
It's also just bad in general that he's looking after her at all, because as I said in the last episode, that should not occur. They are strangers to each other and he is barely knows her, and it's just not okay.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. So that's bad.
It is bad for my retinal health for him to be shown in surfing attire.
I mean, it's not great that he had Hitler's hair, but I'm going to say he actually does get mad in this episode at Suzanne for hiding her money, even though if he doesn't stay that way, he probably should. That's five. Yeah.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed, still talking about her political activism. Image. She knows many girls look to Brenda as a role model and tries to direct her character's actions accordingly. For example, the writers wanted Brenda to worry about losing 5 pounds before putting on a bikini. Perfectly proportioned Shannon argued strongly against it. Reality. The scene was cut? Question mark. Why didn't they shoot the scene with her in a bikini if she was successful? Instead, they just hid her perfectly proportioned body. Now, book, I don't want to call you out, but first of all, that storyline is bullshit, and Brenda and Shannon were both right to buck against it. And also, her body was fine, and we've seen her in bathing suits. I don't know why perfectly proportioned
at length.
I don't know why that's in quotation marks. Her figure is fine and would have looked fine in a bikini, and she was not wrong in this case. End of excerpt.
Next time on Again With This, Andrea fears she can't save her relationship when it takes her 70 billion years to tell Jesse she's pregnant. Brandon has no doubt he could save the Peach Pit when Nat silent movies to the floor of the Peach Pit with a cardiac conniption and Brandon takes approximately 0.2 seconds to put himself in charge of the place. You should put yourself in charge of a full bottle of Maalox before checking out our visual aids for this and every other Again With This episode. Those are on our website at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My stylish co-host, Tara Ariano, is, strangely enough, on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our peripatetic producer, David T. Cole, is on Instagram at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.